Well, good morning, Westgate Chapel. It is good to be together and to worship together this morning. And as we get started, there's a few things I want to make you aware of that are inside of your worship guide and in your weekly newsletter. The first thing that I want to point out to you is if you are interested in being a part of our worship arts team, if you have any gifts or abilities when it comes to singing or to playing musical instruments, I would love to encourage you to check out the backside of the newsletter. You'll see there that we have auditions coming up, and the auditions are going to be held on October 13th. We would love for you to consider being a part of the team, whether you sing, play an instrument, or even if you'd like to try your skills in the tech booth, working with our sound, projection, lighting, or even with our videoing of the services. We have many places to serve, so please be sure to check that out. There will be a table in the atrium next Sunday. And you can stop by to sign up for that there. A couple other things. Next week, we're going to be having a meeting for those that are interested in having their child dedicated. We're going to be doing child dedication in our service on September 23rd. And so if you would like to be a part of that, again, that meeting will take place next Sunday after both the first and second service. And it'll be in the green room, which is right out these doors to my right, your left. And I would love to meet with you there next week if you would like to be a part of that part of the service. Also, just a reminder, if you have been here at Westgate New any time in the last 6 months and have never been to Pizza with the Pastors, Pizza with the Pastors is coming up here very shortly. It'll be also on the 23rd following the second service, and it's a time for those who are newer to Westgate to get to meet the pastoral staff and for us to get the chance to get to know you a little bit better. And so we would love for you to plan on joining us. You'll see a postcard inside of your worship guide. If you would like to join us, please fill out that card, and you can turn it in either next week in the offering, or you could turn it into the info kiosk out in the main entrance at the end of the service. But again, we would love for you to come. Even if you've been attending Westgate for a long time, I know we have a few new staff members, and if you would like a chance to meet them, we would love for you to come and stop by. So please be sure to check on that. Now, when I was young, growing up in the church, I grew up going to a Christian Missionary Alliance church in Long Beach, California. And the entire time growing up, this church was roughly about 250 to 350 people in size. And I can remember that that was a very comfortable thing for me. It felt like when you went to a small church, like you knew everybody. But one of the things I hated was often I would go with some friends and visit their churches. There was one particular church down the street that was roughly the same size as Westgate Chapel, about 1,000 people. And one of the things that I didn't like about it was when I walked in the doors, I consistently felt like, how in the world, when you walk in and there's that many people in a church, can you ever really get to know other people? How do you get connected? It feels like everybody else is already in relationships with one another, and how do you break into that? And in my youth, and even growing into the time where I became a pastor for years, I was very cynical about the idea of bigger churches. I remember that when I first became a youth pastor in Long Beach, that I went out to the CMA sent me out to a conference for new workers in Chicago, and a friend of mine said, hey, let's go over and check out Willow Creek. It's that huge mega church. And I thought, you know, I've already seen what I thought was really poor way of people getting connected in a church of about 1,000. Why on God's green earth would I want to go visit a church of like 10,000, you know? And so we decided to make this trek and went over to Willow Creek. And I remember walking in the doors and looking around going like, okay, they have a food court that looks like I'm at the mall. I walk into the sanctuary and it's just seas and seas of people. And the cynicism within me continued to grow of like, it's impossible to be in a church this size and get connected with other people. This is just a bad way. People can come in, they can hide, they don't ever get into relationships. But I was actually, when I sat down with the worship guide there, I went through and I was thumbing through it, and I was actually amazed at how easy it was to get connected into the life of that church and how simple they made it for people. I was really taken back, because what I began to realize is there were opportunities to not only meet people through getting into different classes, but there were also ways of doing that by getting involved in life groups, and it was very easy. Their on-ramps were simple and easy to understand. The only thing that would keep somebody from not getting connected, even in a church that size, is if they refused to take the first step and say, I want to step in and get involved. And you know something, it made a profound impact on my own thinking about how we take large churches and make them small. You know, as a church, we've been talking for a number of years now about the importance of our mission. Everybody here knows our mission by heart, right? 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 Yeah. Right? Everybody's looking at the ground like, nope. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, where they are growing in their intimacy with God, their community with believers, and also in their influence with non-believers. And when I think about that, I think about how our church has laid such a great foundation that we are built on the very Word of God, that we believe His Word is what gives us life, and we study it, and we desire as God's people to grow deeper in our intimacy with Him, not just going through the motions, but yielding more of our heart and life. And I see that infused in so many ways into our ministries and into the life of this church. As well, over the last many years, we've been growing even more in our desire to have influence with those outside of this building that don't know Jesus Christ. We want people to know Him, and we see how our church has been getting involved, serving in our community, looking for ways to make an impact with the international community that surrounds us, looking for opportunities to get to know our neighbors and our friends and to share Christ's love with them. And I've heard testimony after testimony of how people within our body are making moves and that God is positioning their heart to have that desire. But if you remember back to the beginning of the year at our annual meeting in January, one of the specific things that I talked with the church about was that one of the areas we need to grow the most is in how we help people in a larger church get connected into the life of the church, to literally take big and make it small so that we can be in intimate relationship with one another, fulfilling the design that God had for His church, that we would be in relationship and growing together in Jesus Christ. We believe as a church that the most essential way for you to grow in your relationship with God is to be connected to other people, to have accountability, to continue to grow in your relationship. And we're going to be doing a series over the next 3 weeks, and it's entitled The Big Three. You'll see that on your worship guide this morning and on the screen behind me. The Big Three Ways of Connecting in Biblical Community. We've been putting a lot of emphasis as a church leadership, as a staff, as elders, talking about how it is that we are going to do better at helping people to get connected into relationships and to continue to grow together in Christ. And you'll see that the big three ways that we are going to be talking about over the next weeks is we'll be talking about how we grow together in our worship services or in corporate worship together, by getting into intimate community like life groups and communities and classes, and also by serving side by side together. This is an important topic for our church body, and Pastor Mike has been doing a ton of work on this as our adult ministries pastor. He has been working on our systems. We've got a lot of things that are going on right now to help people get connected, and you're going to get to hear a lot about some new things in the next few weeks that are going to be coming to help you in that process of getting connected with others and growing together. And so I hope that you're excited. This morning, we are going to focus on our worship service, talking about the importance of corporate worship. Would you invite Mike as he comes to share with us this morning?
Well, good morning, church. Now, I know you guys are just hearing about the big three for the first time, but this is something that our church has been talking about, praying about, processing with staff and with elders, etc. And you guys, we're really excited about this. And we're so excited about the idea of getting involved with Westgate Chapel simpler, easier, so that everybody here can say that Westgate Chapel is their church family and to truly mean that and truly be a part of that. And so as Pastor Rob said, we're going to be covering one part of the big three each week for the next 3 weeks, starting today. And today we're talking about the first one, which is worship service, right? And really this is the on-ramp, the front door, if you will. And it's also more than that. We're going to talk about that, but to getting involved at Westgate Chapel. And so we're talking about worship service. And so why worship service? You know, and over the course of the message, it's my hope that you get a very clear understanding of why we believe that it's so important to join the church family on a weekly basis to worship God, study His Word, and do life together. Now, the reality is that there are lots of different people in the room this morning. I mean, just look at how many there are. There's a lot of people here. And on one end of the spectrum, we have people who look at worship service and attending that every week as something that's like a definite, essential commitment for them in their lives. Right? These are the people who, when they have 102 fever, are still getting bed on time so they can make it to church 10 minutes early in their specific pew, making us all look bad, right? Those are the people that are on that one end of the spectrum, right? And on the other end of the spectrum, we have what I like to call CEO Christians. Has anybody heard that expression before, CEO Christians? A couple of people? CEO Christians are the Christians who attend church on Christmas and Easter only. We all know some CEO Christians, don't we? They think that going to church is an important thing on some level, right? Like clearly they attend a few times a year, but they might not think it's such an important thing for them that they're going to do it on a much more regular basis to be really attending that church worship service. And then there's a lot of us in the room today that maybe fall somewhere in the middle of the you know, every week religiously kind of thing that we're doing that, and we're making that a priority, and then, you know, the other side. And so as someone who has been involved in the church for a long time and as a pastor, this is something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. Why is it that there are so many different attendance patterns that are take place in the church today? What is going on? And I think that a part of it is that our culture is changing. Culture today is definitely different than it used to be years ago, right? I heard a pastor recently say that 30 years ago, his church considered a regular attender to be someone, someone who attends church 2 or 3 times a week, right? They come to Sunday morning service. They have a Sunday evening service that everybody goes to. There might be a Wednesday night service. There's Bible studies in the middle. And so for them, a regular attender was someone who was coming to church like 2-3 times a week on a regular basis. That was who a regular attender was. Well, today, let me tell you that most churches consider a regular attender to be someone who attends church 2 or 3 times a month, right? That's totally different. Have you guys ever noticed this before? Have you ever thought about why it is that over time people have put in different attendance records and different lifestyles into place? And I think this is where it gets interesting, because I think there's two different types of answers that people give as to why this is taking place. The first, and this is if you ask most regular attenders why they aren't attending church more often, they'll say, well, I'm just so busy with everything I have going on in life. You know, my kids, they have activities on Sundays or sports, whatever, I can't make it. Or, you know, I worked really hard this week, so I deserve a day to do whatever I want to do. Or, you know, I attend Bible study every other week, and I do pray sometimes, and so for me, it's really not that important if I make it to service. It's nice, but I don't have to do it, you know. And so they have all these different surface-level answers as to why this is happening, but I think that they're not really getting to the root of what's going on underneath the surface. And so I would suggest to you that today that more and more people have been coming up with new and unbiblical definitions of what the local church is supposed to look like. Rather than going to Scripture and embracing the way that God tells us our involvement in church should look like, we have come up with definitions that feel more comfortable to us. We've come up with definitions that better fit the lifestyles that we want to live. And most people don't even realize they're doing it, right? So here are a couple examples. So instead of seeing the church as a family who is passionately pursuing the same goals and purpose and is doing life together, we can kind of redefine church to be something more like a social club or a fitness club, right? Where it's just much more casual, and you can come when you can, and it's great when you do, and, you know, it's not a big deal if you miss out, and really the people that you're attending with are really just more like acquaintances anyways that you kind of, you know, see, oh, hey, good to see you, you know, it's kind of passing, and you're missing out on this family thing. And because they've redefined what church is to them to be more of this easy to access, less commitment kind of club environment, their attendance patterns reflect that, right? They're in commitment, their relationships reflect that because of their new definition. Another example is that when we see the worship service as a place where we are supposed to significantly grow and develop this week, instead of seeing it that way, we can redefine it as a place where we can just get a quick fix when we need a spiritual recharge. I know a lot of people who just kind of look at coming to church as like, well, I just need a little booster shot to get me through my next week, you know, like this little spiritual thing that kind of keeps me going. And when you look, when you look this way and you're not coming all that often, but you're just kind of coming in frequently, we never really have this lasting progress in our spiritual growth and discipleship journey, because it's just kind of this much more casual, infrequent thing. And so I think when it comes down to it, a big part of our problems starts with our definitions of what the local church is supposed to look like. And that when we do not look through God's instructions, when we instead look through our own filter, we can end up in some pretty different places about what it's supposed to be and why coming to a weekly worship service is supposed to be such a priority for us as Christ followers. And so with that being said, I want us for the next few minutes to take a look at how the Bible defines what the local church should be. And as a part of that, why it's so important for us to attend this weekly worship service and why it's the first item on Westgate's new Big Three. And so the next part that we're going to talk about, part two, is what did God design the local church to be? And I'm going to give you five pieces that we're going to kind of walk through quickly that I think the Bible spells out for us about what the church is supposed to look like. And the first thing I want to talk about is that God has called us to be one body, one body. If you've ever been to church before, you've probably heard the phrase body of Christ, used to describe the community of all believers. And if you don't know what this is, it's a reoccurring illustration throughout the Bible that talks about this picture of what the church is supposed to function right, like. You know, so we have, like, there's all these different parts of a body, just like in humans, there's heads, fingers, toes, intestines, whatever, right? There's all these different body parts. And he says, just like the body has all these different body parts that are making it and make it function and function well, that's the same way as the church works, right? There's all sorts of different people with different passions and backgrounds, and they have their own things that they contribute. And God says that our church is supposed to be one organism working together. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. He talks about this pretty clearly. He says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." And so what Paul is saying is that even though the church is made up with all these different types of people, it's supposed to be one body functioning under the leadership of our head, Jesus Christ. And we today call that the church. And we have local churches like Westgate Chapel that are just smaller portions of this larger church body. And so as we unpack why being a part of our weekly worship service is so important, I want us to have this image in mind, because this is the image that God gives us about how our church is supposed to function. And as we look through the Bible, we find lots of passages that depict for us these different qualities, and we're going to kind of look through them together. But before we move on, I just want us to really just lock in the reality that we are called to be one. So how many bodies of Christ are there, church?
One.
And how many Christians are supposed to be a part of that body of Christ? All of them. You guys are doing great. So let's keep on moving, and let's talk about some of the qualities that God is calling us to exhibit as a church. And the next one we're going to talk about is the fact that we are called to be, number two, one body growing in Christ together. God doesn't just want the people here at Westgate Chapel to simply be unified. Sometimes we think, you know what, unity is the goal of the church, right? That's what we should be aiming for. But God says, you know what, that's one part, but there's more that I want you to have. And one of the things that he says he wants for us to be doing is he wants us to be growing in Christ together. He wants us to be taking forward steps together in our spiritual journeys. The Apostle Paul talks about this really well when he writes his letter to the church in Ephesus. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 15 through 16, we find Paul instructing the church on what this forward movement should look like. Let me read that for you. Paul writes, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And so Paul, with his complex sentence structures, paints this picture for us of the body of believers who, through their meeting together, grows and is built up. Now, I know football season is here. Is anybody else aware that that's taking place right now? Yes, I got some hands. Is anybody else excited about football season starting up? I'm a little excited about that. It's kind of a fun time of the year. I'm going to use a football illustration to help us, I think, just kind of get the spirit of what I believe that Paul is talking about and teaching us about the church growing together. And the illustration I want to use is I want to say that maybe Paul's description is kind of like saying that the church is supposed to be similar to a high school freshman football team that grows and develops over 4 years on their journey to playing at a varsity level. I was saying this to the church, the first service, and I was like, this just sounds like a bad setup for an illustration, like the high school freshman football team. Anyways, and so while the freshman team certainly knows the rules of the game, they haven't yet reached their highest potential, both individually and as a team. Many of the players aren't as strong as they could be physically. Many of the players haven't learned the full value of working together as a team. Many of the players haven't fully developed their skills in running and catching and passing and all the different parts to the football game yet. However, on their four-year journey, things change a lot. They grow. They go to hundreds of hours of practices where they work on their game together. They learn their individual roles that they're called to play, and they learn how to play them well. They get stronger mentally, physically, emotionally. And by the end of those 4 years of playing together and all the things that go into it, they're a different team, right? They've changed a lot. They're way more functional and successful at playing the game of football in individually and as a whole. And I believe that the greatest reason that they're able to accomplish as much as they do is because they have coaches helping them to develop. They have coaches that work with them constantly, working with them on every aspect of their game. They have people teaching them how to work together, helping them to learn how to play football and to work as a team. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, Paul isn't just talking about people working and growing together on their own. He's talking about people working and growing together under Jesus Christ's leadership, under his coaching. Verse 15 says, "We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." Church, just like a football team, we need to get together as a church and attend practice once a week. We need to learn from God and his word together. We need to go to training camp to work on our game and grow as a team. And while Christ is our head coach, he has also put in a team of assistant coaches to come and help him lead and develop his people. And the Bible refers to these individuals as elders and as pastors. And the structure has been in place since the very beginning of time in the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 gives this picture. Luke is writing this picture of the local church. And he says, "They, the local church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And there's this picture here of even at the very beginning of the church getting together. And what are they doing? They're coming and they're learning God's word together. They're sitting under their coach, Jesus, who is giving them words and instructions through his servants. And so here at Westgate Chapel, Pastor Rob, under Christ's leadership, has been called to lead and shepherd our church as the assistant, key assistant coach underneath our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like God has planned for us, we need to be growing together in Christ under the teaching of Christ and his leaders that he has put in place for us. And so this is a huge reason for us as a church why we should be coming to Westgate Chapel or to your local church on a Sunday morning, right? We need to come and we need to grow together. We need to learn together. We need to take steps forwards together. We need to be sanctified together as a body of Christ. And the place where we have this once a week opportunity to do that is right here in this room on Sunday mornings, you guys. And it is so important. And so that is the first of the kind of these other reasons why we are called and what the church is called to be and what qualities it's supposed to have. But let's move on to the next one. And that's that we have been called to be, number three, one body worshiping together. One body worshiping together. Throughout the entire Bible, there are continuous mentions of God's children gathering together to praise God through song. Exodus chapter 15, there's this cool moment where Moses and the Israelites, after they've gotten out of Egypt, they take time together and as an entire nation sing a song of praise to God. Can you imagine how cool that would have been? The whole nation praising God together in song. There's lots of other Old Testament examples where the Psalms, you know, many of the Psalms would have been sung together in corporate worship. And then we get to the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. It says, "And day by day, they attended the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they did it so praising God," right? There's a spirit of singing and praising God together in these places. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, Paul writes that the church should be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, there's a spirit of corporate worship in this passage that Paul is describing. And he does the same thing into his letter to the Colossians. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." And then he says, "Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And so this model of corporate worship is all throughout the Bible. And so why is it so important? I mean, why is it that for thousands of years, this has been just a thing that the body of Christ, God's children, have done together, I mean, for millennia? Why is it that the Apostle Paul instructs the church to sing worship songs as church communities? What is going on here? And there's a lot of answers that we don't have time to cover, but I picked two that I think are just so important for us as a church right now to acknowledge. And the first is that it's awakening. It's awakening. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get to church on a Sunday morning, I'm not feeling on fire for God. Sometimes I feel tired, and not just tired because I stayed up too late and I'm physically exhausted or because I had a long week. I feel tired emotionally. I feel tired spiritually. Have you guys ever felt that way before? If we're being honest, I think there'd be a lot of hands in the room raised. And I think one of the reasons the corporate worship is modeled for us in the Bible is because it can help awaken our spirits to God. I read a quote by Martin Luther that really speaks to this. He says, "At home, in my house, there is no warmth or vigor in me, but in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart and it breaks its way through." I don't know about you, but I can identify with that. I can identify with that, a feeling of walking into church on a Sunday morning, feeling just spiritually dry, and then all of a sudden I'm in this room and there's hundreds of other Christ followers around me and we're singing praises to God and the Holy Spirit just pierces my heart and he does something where this body of Christ is singing songs of praise together and we're just processing together and we're worshiping together, and all of a sudden my heart, like a flame, just erupts. Oh, it's so cool. And that is the Holy Spirit at work in the body of Christ. And it is so powerful. And let me tell you, church, if you're wondering if you can experience the same thing on your couch or in your car as you're driving to work and you're listening to the radio and you're by yourself, you can't. It's not the same thing, right? Sure, you can have intimate worship times with the Lord, but there's something unique that the Lord has made about the body of Christ coming together, worshiping him. And it's something that I believe he wants his people to be a part of. The second reason why I think this is so important and so spelled out for us in the Bible is that it's unifying. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about it, but how cool is it? I mean, at what other point in our lives do we get together with hundreds of other people and all do the exact same thing together? I mean, when we are worshiping God, there's something just so connecting about hundreds of people getting together that are singing the same song lyrics, that are doing so in the same rhythm, that are doing so at the same pitch. I mean, we try, right? Some of us do better than others. But there's something so cool about just thinking about hundreds of people uniting, doing one thing together. Something so just like bonding about as a body, just being there, experiencing that, worshiping God, making the same declarations together about who God is and surrendering our lives to him through worship and praising him. That's so awesome. And I think that being a part of the body of Christ, part of it looks like this. And part of it is so important for us to come into worship together in these ways. And so here at Westgate Chapel, we don't want anyone to miss out on this experience. And then the fourth quality of the local church that we find described for us in scripture is this, number four, that we are called to be one body on mission together. Not only are we supposed to be united as a church through learning and through worship, but we're also supposed to be united in our mission. I want to share with you one of my all-time favorite passages. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And here we find the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi, encouraging them and giving them instructions about how they're supposed to put their faith into action. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. I love it. Catch this. He says this: "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ," right? He's saying you should be filled with integrity and righteousness. And then he says, "so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." I love the imagery in this passage. He says that we're called to be united under one spirit, right? We're supposed to have one passion amongst us as a body, with one mind, right? One vision, one strategy. And then he ends this verse by encouraging us to be striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And the Greek here for the word striving means to struggle with or to work alongside of. And so when you put this whole verse together, you get a picture of brothers and sisters partnering together in all of their kingdom building work, not fighting, not working against each other, but everyone working together in their own gifts and their own unique ways, carrying out the mission of the gospel. Church, that's what God wants for us here at Westgate. He wants us to work together. He wants us to come underneath one vision. He wants us to make a difference in Toledo, Ohio, and the surrounding areas together. He wants us to carry out the good news and the love of the gospel together. He wants us to transform the world together with one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Do you want that? Are you as excited about that as I am today? Church, if we want to see that happen, then we need to be united together as a body on mission together. Just like that football team We need to be on the same page, right? We need to be figuring out how we can accomplish this together, because there's a reality that we can accomplish far more together than we can when we're apart. So often I see people who go and they say, you know, I'm going to try to do and be on mission alone, and I'm going to go and do my own thing. I don't need to partner with the local church in this way. But church, there's a problem with that, and that is that you're never going to be as effective as you can be as a team as you are alone, or vice versa, as alone as you could be as a team. That's not the model that God has called us to. And so one of the important things about attending a weekly worship service at your local church, whether it's here or it's a different church, is that it allows us to come together and to be united in one vision. And so any of the things that the Lord is laying on Pastor Rob's heart to share with us, or he is leading our church to be a part of, those are things that we are going to be excited about and be on mission for together, right? We as a church have made a decision to go and to be the church in the streets, to reach other people. We have, as a church, have made decisions to go and to be people who are wholly devoted to the Lord and not to have divided hearts and actions, and all the other mission sort of statements that we are called to do, influence with unbelievers, community with believers, etc. These are the things that the Lord has been leading our church to do, and as a church, we can come and we can rally behind those at the weekly worship service. It's so important for us. And I hope that you're seeing that. And then we come to number five, the fifth biblical quality that I think that the Lord is putting on the hearts of the church to do and to exhibit. And that's to be one body with all generations. One body with all generations. I don't know about you, but I believe that the local church body is at its best when it has a healthy balance of all the generations present. And I believe that when we look at the church, that the way the church is described in the Bible, we can see the same exact thing. There are tons of passages about this that describe the church, and there's pictures of older people mentoring and discipling younger people. We see that in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, where there's this model of older people mentoring and discipling and teaching younger. There's also other passages where we see younger people coming alongside of and helping older people. And we see lots of passages of the whole body taking movement and sharing their faith and doing lots of work together. Can I count in any of the scripture, do we see, well, and then the young people went into this and the older people went into this? That's not how the New Testament church worked, right? It was one body of all generations working together. Church, we need each other. Each generation has unique strengths and weaknesses, and each generation has incredibly valuable to offer, and we are going to be most effective at fulfilling the Great Commission when we do it together. And the sad thing is that there's many churches in our culture today that are struggling with this. And there's a lot of different issues that kind of can be sore spots that can cause division in churches. I mean, one of the sillier things is just when it comes down to just preferences, right? We have the older generation with this preference, the younger generation with this preference, this other generation with this preference about, you know, decorations, about styles, about music volumes, about all these different things. And we can allow these things to create conflict and division within our church. And I struggle with this because it's dividing ourselves from the unity that the Lord is calling us to. And another related problem that I think maybe is the root of this is that sometimes people from any given generation can kind of have this thing where they look at other generations that are a different age group than them, and they can struggle to identify and see value in the way that God has made them and the passions that God has put on their hearts, etc. We can kind of struggle to see the benefits and the extreme strengths that these other generations have. And so in the midst of that, we can kind of sometimes, whether we realize it or not, begin to segregate ourselves from other generations, right? I know a lot of, and just an example of this, I know many young adults that have this kind of perspective in mind. They say, you know what, I want to be a part of a church where the average age is 30 and the music's loud and everything's trendy. And that's the church body that I want to be a part of. And it's exciting and it's fun and it's new. But you know what? I don't think that that's what the Bible spells out to be a healthy church. He says, you know, we need older generations mentoring younger generations. We need younger generations working alongside of older generations. We need to be the church together. So here at Westgate Chapel, we firmly believe that our church is designed to be multi-generational, that our church, its service, and all of our ministries need to be places where the entirety of our church body can interact and share life together in some capacity. And one of the best initial steps that we can take as a church family is being in this room worshiping God together. And this has an opportunity for us to sing and to worship together, but this also is an opportunity for us to walk across a pew and meet some other people and begin building relationships with each other. And the catch is that I think even as Rob mentioned earlier, is that we need to, if we're going to do this, be willing to take a step forward in faith to say, you know what, I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to try to break this generational barriers that might be existing in our church today. And so my encouragement is that we as a church need to be moving in this multi-generational direction. And that is a part of what God is calling us to do. And so those are the five qualities of the local church body that I felt led to share with you this morning. And there's more qualities that we could talk about, but those are just five. And what I want us to do right now is, as we've shared them with you, is I want us to take a second to just respond. And so the third part of our message this morning is that point, how do we need to respond as a church? And the first thing that I'd suggest to you is that we all need to first consider whether or not being a part of a local church body like Westgate Chapel is important to us. This might sound like a silly suggestion at first, but I want us to really stop and think about it right now. You know, a lot of us, if we're being honest in our daily lives, don't really just stop and think, you know, what's my involvement like at the local church and how am I doing and is it where the Lord is calling me to be? And so right now in this room together, let's just stop for a second and consider that. I want to just take a second and think about questions like, how often have you been able to make it to corporate worship over the last few months? Do you see the church more as a club where it's just a casual commitment, come when you can, not a big deal if you miss, not as strong relationships, or do you see it more as a church family that's doing life and mission together? Do you feel convicted at all about any of the ways that you've been approaching church and your involvement in the body of Christ over the past few months? Are there any areas maybe that as you're hearing this message that the Lord's saying, you know what, maybe you need to take some steps forward in that? The plan that God has for us regarding our involvement in the local church should be one of excitement and anticipation. And if you're here today and you're struggling to get more involved with Westgate Chapel, I really want you to consider why. Is it because you're busy with everything else? Is it because you're struggling at looking at the church the way that God in the Bible tells us and talks about? Is it because you're not sure what it looks like for you to get more involved and to use your gifts as a part of this church community? And if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I just don't know how I fit in. I don't know how I can serve and how I can use my gifts. I would encourage you today to maybe take a step towards asking one of our church staff members. There's a lot of us here at the church. You can talk to me about saying, you know what, I'd like to get more involved in using my gifts and being a contributing member like you talked about, like being that team. We'd love to get you involved. Or maybe it's just because you haven't really connected with anyone yet. You haven't built those solid family relationships yet. And so because you don't know a lot of people, you're kind of struggling, do I want to go back to that place very often? And again, that's part of why we're building the big three. And so tying into that, I would encourage you to get more plugged into our church. Number two. You guys, worship service is the first step. Coming here on a weekly basis is the first step. But the reality is that there's more that we need to be doing to be a part of the church body. So we're going to be talking about that in the next couple weeks. But I want us to hear right now that God didn't design us to go to just church on the weekend and that's it. He wants us to be integrated into the family and plugged in together. And so we have a few exciting new things that are coming up as a church that I want you to hear about, right? We're going to be talking a lot about this big life group initiative that we're going to be taking heading through this fall and into January. And our hopes is that in January and February as a church, we're going to be launching many new life groups so that people like yourselves can come in and say, you know what, that big church is now small and we can do life together. We can study the Bible together and support each other in prayer. And so we're going to be talking more about that next week. Another thing I want you to be aware of is that we are building a new kind of system or just a cool ministry even for getting plugged into the church. And one of that is our classes ministry that's taking place. And so in your worship guide this morning, you got this insert. And what it does is it's going to outline some classes for you that are being offered at Westgate Chapel this fall. And this is an opportunity for you to not only come and learn about what's going on. But learn about different areas of our Christian walks that we can be discipled in. We're going to be talking about things like our membership class. We're going to be talking about seeing work as worship, and Pastor Glenn and Steve Parrish are going to be walking through how do we our faith and our jobs intersect. We're going to be having classes on financial peace and managing our money, parenting class on managing emotional mayhem in the household, a foundational Christian belief class talking about, you know, some of these basic questions and understanding of Christianity. And there's lots of cool opportunities here to not only learn more about what's, you know, about about our faith and to grow in these areas, but also to get connected. We're going to create spaces in every class where you can find other people, talk to other people, engage in discussion, and our hope is that from that, you might be building more relationships and getting more plugged into the church body and joining life groups, etc., together. And so I'd love it if you'd check these out. Our classes are going to be offered on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights here at the church during our student ministry programming and children's ministry programming. And so we'd love it if you'd interested in that. We actually have a table in the main entrance for you today to kind of get some more info and to sign up. And then the last thing, another just fun opportunity we have going on at the church is that we have a cool men's cookout and cornhole tournament that's taking place in just a couple weeks on a Sunday night. And this is for all men of the church. And even if you're a father and you have some junior high or high school boys, we'd love it if you would come together as men to eat some food, play some cornhole, just a casual time to connect. But that's just one of many options that we have to do life together and to connect in this church body. And you can sign up for that in the main entrance today after church. And so getting plugged in is a huge step forward for us in becoming more a part of this corporate church body. And then thirdly, and the last thing I want to talk about this morning as we wrap up, is that we need to respond by making a personal commitment to be an active part of this local church body. Look, I know that everyone here today isn't all from Westgate Chapel. I know that you guys wouldn't all consider yourself here. Maybe you're a visitor today. But what I also know is that God has globally taught his church that we are supposed to be bought in and tied into a local church body, whichever church body that is, right? He wants us to join in and be a part of that family of believers. He wants us to partner with others in spreading the gospel. And we need to do that at a local church body level. And so I hope that you can see by now that not fully entering into the local church family isn't a good option. And that it's worth it for us as Christ followers to make a decision in our hearts and in our minds to say, you know what? I'm just going to make that a staple in my life. I'm going to make my commitment to being a part of this local church and being as involved as the Lord is leading me to be something that I'm going to prioritize in my life. And so what we've done for you as we wrap up our sermon this morning is we've created for you a special activity to sort of reflect and respond and even maybe commit to what we've been talking about today. And so over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've had a team of volunteers that what they've been doing is that they have been building this physical structure behind me. What it is it's a Lego church. And just as we've been talking about the idea that we are supposed to be all members of one body, I think also there's a reality that each person in the room helps make up what is the church, right? The church isn't mortar. It's not brick. It's a group of people who all come together to make the body of Christ, right? And so what we have is what we're going to be doing is we're going to be in a moment as the band comes out after I pray, we're going to be actually giving ourselves a chance to respond, and everybody in the room is invited to do this. And as you come forward, we'd encourage you to go up to that church building, and it's going to feel kind of funny, but you're going to take a Lego piece off of that, and that for you is going to mean one of two different things. Number one, it could be for you a chance to say, you know what? I am committed to being a part of the church body. I'm embracing the identity that God has called me to be and to be a participating member and to be attending the local church on a regular basis, to being involved. And so as I take this brick off, I'm saying, you know what? I am a part of the church. I am going to be in this and I'm going to commit myself to this. And then secondly, if you're here today and you're kind of like, Mike, I don't know if I'm there yet. What I want you to do is I still want you to come and take a Lego piece, because for you, I want this to be just a visual representation of what we've talked about this morning and what God is saying. You know what? I want you to be a part of this corporate church body. And so maybe you're not there yet where you're ready to commit, but I just want you to have that as kind of a keepsake to remember this. And so everyone is invited to participate. If you're not able to make it forward, we'll have some ushers in the back with baskets and maybe can help provide those for you. If you're upstairs and you don't want to come down, there's going to be some baskets on the side of each side of the room that you're welcome to come and just take a Lego piece out of. But I think it's something very cool about coming and saying, you know what, I'm a part of the church. I'm going to commit to being what Philippians 1:27 says, being of one mind with one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And so church, that is what I'm going to leave you with today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we get to have a church, or that we get to be a group of people that can come and we can worship freely, Father, that we don't have to worry about persecution, we don't have to worry about anything, Lord, but that every Sunday and every time throughout the week that we meet, Lord, we can gather together, we can sing praises together, we can worship your name together, Lord. We can catch on fire together for you and for your kingdom, Father. Lord, today, as we are processing, Lord, I pray you just be meeting with us and speaking in our hearts about how involved we are in the church. Some of us have been doing a great job at this, and some of us maybe have room to grow, Father. And so right now, I pray that you would just be shepherding us and helping us to see what it is that you are calling us to do, to be more involved, perhaps, in this church body, Lord. Or maybe it's just to be encouraged and to say, you know, I'm going to keep on going and being a part of this church body today, Father. And so, Lord, we invite you into this time together, Lord. Meet with us. Bless us all in your name. Amen.